Next case for argument is Carter versus Northwest Airlines. Mr. Galesburg.
May it please the court, Stuart Galesburg, representing appellant Ramel Carter. The major issue in this case is the interactive process and appellant's reliance on Guile versus United Airlines, which has been before this court twice, once remanded to the district court back up. And Mr. Carter sustained a very serious injury, to his, a crushing injury to his right foot at O'Hare, resulting in RSD, and the district court found that he had a permanent serious impairment, that the employer knew about the impairment. Then the question comes up is what the obligations were to the appellant and to the employer in the interactive process. And
Mr. Galesburg, I really had a little bit of difficulty here. Is it correct that Mr. Carter didn't show up for me for the meetings and didn't bother to retake the keyboarding test after getting the company-sponsored training?
Those are good questions. I hopefully will answer them. He could not. He was on workers' compensation. He could not. He didn't have a phone. He did not refuse. He could not attend the meeting. The district court, I believe, said he failed or refused. He didn't fail or refuse. The initial assessment was done without him between Peg Summers, assessment person, and the Mr. Cinder, his manager at O'Hare.
But when you say he couldn't,
he was unable to, is what the record indicates, I believe.
Does the record give a reason for the inability?
It may mention something about a phone, because his benefits were cut on, cut off, his living out of the car, and it's off the record, that information. But he didn't refuse. He did, and he didn't neglect it. There's no evidence of that. With your second question, Your Honor,
The keyboard test.
The employer made him bid on jobs. He said that I prefer the reservation sales position because of his foot. And when he went to take the test, the typing test, he got a 47 out of 50. That's in the record. At the same time, or later, or at a similar time, the workers' comp carrier through Cascade gave him typing assistance. And it's not in the record that they cut off his benefits and refused, based on a recommendation of the school, to give him additional typing.
It's not in the record? What are we supposed to do with something that's not in the record?
That's why I said it's not in the record. But assuming that that's not in the record, I would say that the employer had more of an obligation to not just give them that one reservation sales test, sales position. They, according to Guile, should have transferred him into a vacant position. And that's argued in the memorandum, which the appellee says is waived. They should have transferred him. They gave everything to him. It looks on the surface that they did everything, fulfilling their obligations under the interactive process. They put everything, the system broke down because they didn't comply with Guile, this court's mandate in Guile. They did not at all do what this court said they should have done in Guile, and in Hendricks, and in Mays, and the shifting of the burden to the employer and its obligations to this employee. He bid on four or five different jobs. They gave him hundreds of jobs, and he didn't. And it's just like in Hendricks, or he didn't know. They gave him codes. There was no flexible interpersonal trying to help this person get a job. This man is sitting in Chicago. He takes the typing test. He bids on four or five positions. And then they send, and they close the book on them in 90 days. And then they give them the access to the computer system, go find a job. That is not what Guile says an employer should do. Now, if they didn't have a job, it's all over. It's all over. They had available jobs. They are the best ones to know what jobs could fit him and his accommodation. They didn't tell him that. They never told him that. And he never knew that. The things they sent him were the jobs quoted, not even necessarily with the job descriptions on, and definitely no accommodations within what they sent him. And the one job he bid on in Detroit, he couldn't get it because he only had 4 years seniority. Could not get that. And in the appellee's brief, they said, well, the collective bargaining came into play. They never even raised a collective bargaining agreement in the district court. Now they're raising it for the first time up here. Had they said in district court, this is a matter for collective bargaining, that we don't have any jobs available for you, it's all over. They didn't do that. And I reserve.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Galesburg. Ms. Majeure?
Good morning. My name is Adrienne Mazura. I represent Northwest Airlines, the appellee in this case. May it please the court. We believe that the judge's decision in this case should be affirmed for two reasons. Number one, she correctly ruled that Northwest engaged in the interactive process and reasonably accommodated Mr. Carter. And in addition, we believe that there is no ADA covered. We would submit that there is no ADA-covered disability here. Addressing the interactive process and accommodation issue first. Number one, Northwest did everything that this court has ever required an employer to do. First, they looked at Mr. Carter's original job, which is an ESC position, which is a baggage handler. They throw bags on a plane. They looked at that job, and that was the meeting that Mr. Carter did not either show up for or attend by telephone. He was invited to actually drive to O'Hare and attend it with the O'Hare supervisor there by phone or do it by phone. And the record, since the question was asked earlier, indicates that he claims that he couldn't get to a phone, that he didn't have a phone, he couldn't use his grandmother's phone. He knew about the meeting, did not come. Notwithstanding that, and it was determined that he couldn't perform those functions with reasonable accommodation, and Mr. Carter acknowledged at least twice in his deposition that, no, I couldn't do the baggage handler job. Northwest went a step further. They did not stop there. They did not throw job listings at him or say, go ahead and bid on it like they did in Gile. What they did was call him, talk to him, discuss different types of jobs with him, and he was the one that said, you know, I think the reservation sales agent job is the one that I would like to pursue. That's the one that meets my limitations. That's the one I would like to do. He bid on it through the collective bargaining bidding process. He was awarded the job, and he was not able to qualify for it. Did Northwest stop there? Did they say, oh, you are out of luck, we're done? No. They said, we'll give you typing classes. We will give you keyboarding classes. He asked for those keyboarding classes after he failed the test. Did we say, we don't have to do anything more? No. We said, we'll pay for the keyboarding classes. And then encouraged him to rebid. He did not rebid again. That is clear from the record. We have more than fulfilled our obligation under Gile and under any other case that this court has found. Another reason for affirmation of this is that we would submit that Mr. Carter's disability does not rise to a Toyota ADA covered disability. Mr. Carter is not substantially limited in the way that Toyota requires substantial limitations. And I understand that I risk being called Rush Limbaugh in this, but his disability is not one where you could not walk two blocks. His disability is one where he cannot walk 15 minutes. He says he can walk 15 minutes, and then he must stop and rest for 5 minutes.
Well, but he does. Look, I understand your first argument, but I do have a bit of a problem with the second, Ms. Missouri, because, the pain allegedly becomes intolerable after 10 minutes of standing. He can only climb stairs slowly, can only walk, short distances using a cane. He wears a special shoe to relieve the pressure. I think he's created a tribal issue of fact as to whether his foot condition severely restricts his ability to walk.
Well, we don't dispute that he has an impairment, and we don't dispute that it hurts, and we do not dispute that he had a crush injury to his foot, for which I sympathize. But under Toyota, it requires that to be substantially limited in walking, he must have an impairment which prevents or restricts him from doing activities that are of central importance to most people's daily lives. The record shows in this case no such restriction. He can do his housekeeping, he can shop, he can drive, he can go to ballets and exercise. Where there is no evidence that he is substantially limited in walking.
He goes to ballets and exercise?
Yes, Your Honor. He's going to ballets and he exercises there. That is what the undisputed evidence shows. And if anyone has walked 15 minutes, that takes me from 203 North LaSalle to this building. That's a long way. He says he can walk 15 minutes. Let me also add that in his deposition, the only medical evidence about this impairment is that he can ambulate with a cane. There is no restriction, nothing saying about walking 15 minutes. Those are all his own individual complaints. We would submit to you that he is not limited either in walking or in working as he now claims that he as he claimed before, and that there is no substantial limitation on working. He has, in fact, claimed here that he can do other jobs and that we should have automatically put him in those jobs. He, in fact, is not just limited in what he can do. He says it's unskilled labor. Every type of manual labor or unskilled job. Well, he claims that we should have put him in an unskilled or manual labor job. In addition, he has attended trade school. He has 1 year of college. And we did, in fact, train him to do keyboarding. So he is not substantially limited in the idea in working as certainly the EEOC has noted in its regulations. So we would submit to you that the judge's decision should, in fact, be affirmed for those reasons.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Missouri.
Thank you.
Mr. Galesburg, how much time is he at? 3 minutes?
The district court found that he was disabled under the ADA, and a paraplegic works out at Bally's. The evidence showed he used his upper arms. Didn't work out with his legs or his feet. The record only shows his upper arms. And under the under Toyota, the fact that that working, the ability to work, is a daily activity necessary for a living. And the district court, Ms. Missouri, would be disagreeing with the district court, which found a disability and the pain and the cane and RSD in his foot, the burning. And we say that the one position of reservation sales agent that he couldn't pass, that didn't end their obligation under Giles, set for, under the practice. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel. Next case for argument, United